All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show, episode 31, the Now I'm Hungry episode. In this episode, we're going to be discussing a lot of food-centric topics, including why family dinners are so important and how they are beneficial to a family's overall health. We'll be going through parent tweets of the week. We'll be doing classic food debates, and then we've got a dinner quiz. So at the end of this, you might be a little hungry. We are just four dads with 12 kids between us. We aren't experts, but we do listen to them. We relate real life stories from real life children and families, and dysfunctional or not, we lay it all out there. We hope you enjoy it. We always wrap the show up with dad jokes and things that make us smile. And speaking of things that make me smile, I've got a very special guest on the couch tonight before the guys come around the corner. What's your name, sir?
Hello, my name is Landon.
Landon, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very good.
All right, so two things we have to break down before we get into the podcast. One is David Dobrik's $100,000 puzzle. How are we doing as a family?
We're doing good.
Would you say pass or fail so far?
I'm thinking we'll pass, but there might be some close ones.
All right, we have 28 days to solve this puzzle, and for those of you who don't know, it turns into a QR code, and you scan the QR code, and you could have a chance of winning $100,000. There's no image. It's the most difficult thing I've ever worked on in my life, and my brain is about to explode, but we're going to make it, aren't we?
Yes.
That's right, son. All right. So, and finally, let's talk about the final thing of WandaVision. Our Marvel bonding continues. Any predictions for the last episode of WandaVision? And yes, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the first episodes.
Well, I think that Vision, Wanda, and Agatha are all going to clash. It's going to have an epic battle. And that Vision and Wanda get married.
Really? Okay. Agatha took a lot of people by surprise. It's going to be a really good one. All right, I'm going to let you go in the house to say goodnight.
Bye.
And thank you for your time, sir. I'll let you go enjoy a family dinner before the guys come around the corner. Coming up next, Dad Timeout Show. Now I'm hungry.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, we're back, and so are the gentlemen. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, oh. Hello.
Cheers to a chilly, chilly March evening.
Yes. Nice. Ooh. Pleasant. Very pleasant. Really nice.
It is pleasant. We are in the backyard, distancing, of course, as this county's still in the, I don't know, there's all sorts of rainbow colors.
Are we
we're
red?
In a red tier or the something, but I mean, speaking of, I did want to ask you guys right out of the gate. So I was thinking, where were we this time last year? Because we were right on the cusp of the pandemic. Mm. Do you remember where you were doing as the news started and you had that spidey sense that things were getting bad? I was. I remember specifically, I'm going to lay it out just because it's a once-in-a-lifetime. I was coming back from the Super Bowl, and we pulled up to Levi's. And I have that image in my mind, the stadium. And then I remember the very next day, I had my daughter's first T-ball practice, which is adorable times a million. And so I went to practice, coached, came home. The little boy had track maybe 2 days later, 3 days later. And that's when all the phones were out. And it was straight out of a movie. I remember parents that we know, Mark, we were all like, wow, this is getting real. Like, it's really starting to close things down. Wow, look at Spain, look at Italy. And you sensed it was coming. And literally 7 days later, we were all in that first limbo of, like, WTF or WTH. Where were you last year? Do you remember, like, coming down the stretch?
Well, nah, I mean, you know, to be honest, it's, I feel like the last year has been like one big month, you know, like it just kind of blurs together, and I can't believe it's been a year already that we've gone so long in this mode. But I remember, yeah, I just started a job. We were just kind of getting into the swing of things, and then we had just moved offices and I found a desk, and then it was like, yeah, let's start staying home, and then I still have food in my desk. Like, we never went back. It was like a zombie apocalypse or something. But I think that's kind of where I was at.
I'm an optimist to a fault. So I was like, it'll never be that bad. Like, I didn't think we'd ever get to shut down. I really didn't. I just like, oh yeah, there's some people on a cruise ship. Oh, there's one person in San Jose. But yeah, we'll shut it down.
Yeah, no one did.
Like, maybe looking back at SARS, Ebola, bird flu, you're like, okay, it's gonna go somewhere, but yeah, not but to not this like extent.
Down, so though, I never yeah. imagined, never, never imagined it going like it did. So no, that's where I was early March.
We were in the same boat. I mean, my son started T-ball, similar to what you're saying, MK, just the cuteness and all that stuff, and going to work every day, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we need to work from home. And then I remember driving down the freeway at some point and just feeling this post-apocalyptic,
yeah,
there's like no cars on on the freeway here, and that's rare here in the East Bay of California. And it was bizarro to be like, whoa, like where are we now? It's like, what? But
it's crazy, right? Like, I do remember a funny moment when my wife's work finally pulled the plug and said, you know, hey, at least 30 days you're going to be working from home, maybe 60.
Mm-hmm.
The news came in. I remember rolling over in bed. I'm shaking her shoulder. I'm like, hey, what do you want to do today? I'm like, we got the next 30 days together. We're just grabbing a pillow and like shoving her head under the pillow. Like, oh, great. I get to maintain the little puppy for 30 days.
I had no idea.
But it was very, very funny. Well, you know, coming full circle, I do want to talk maybe at the back end of the episode. I had the treat on the year anniversary-esque, oddly, of going to Yosemite and catching Firefall. I'm going to post pictures because it was one of the more popular things I've ever posted on social media.
Yeah, those are amazing.
I don't look at numbers, but I did. When I woke up in the morning, I'm like, whoa. Wow, people really like that.
Yeah, I can't believe that wasn't actual fire, right?
It's incredible. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I'll explain what it is later. But, yeah, it was pretty awesome. And then on Switch Gears a little bit, I do want to talk. We're doing the David Dobrik $100,000 puzzle, and I wanted to give you status.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a disaster. For listeners, it's a puzzle you put together that's got 500 pieces. They're all green and black, not green or black, green and black. Almost every piece has both colors. And you're putting together a QR code that you do not see. And you literally just have to find piece by piece this thing. And then you scan it at the end and you could win $100,000.
Is there a chance that it doesn't actually work? That it's
no,
a big,
I've
funny
seen
joke
a lot of videos. It's totally legit. Okay. No, people have won. Okay. Nobody's won the 100,000 yet. Email the other day from the company Dobrik's, you know, puzzle maker or whatever. They're like, "Hey, by the way, you only have a month left."
Oh,
and I'm
what?
Like, "Are you now?" Like in the middle of all these, it's on our dominating our dining room table.
When you scan it and you don't win, do you get the sad trombone sound?
You have to win a quarter. Like, okay, that's the lowest thing you can win.
25 cents?
So there's always
a winner. There's a guy from Mashable that completed it in like 6-7 days with his girlfriend or wife.
Weirdo.
And he won a quarter. He's like, oh, wow. Are you kidding me? I can't get that time back.
That's when the sad trombone comes
so
in.
So we've already prepared for that. Well, we figure that we have to average 15 to 20 pieces a day for the next 25 days. Mm. Then if we get the quarter, we're going to frame the quarter. We're going to frame all of us around the stupid-ass puzzle. And we're going to
do that. Trial and error.
So, it's awesome.
I just wanted to lighten it up after the pandemic talk. But yeah. If you want to go in there, it's wide open on the dining room table.
I'm not going in there.
All right, we're going to wrap this apart. Welcome over, guys, as usual. That was our round top. I had to explain what a round top was to my friend on the left, Chris. So it's when people sit around a table. It's a round table talk. Kind of okay, like not right. The pizza chain, not a sponsor, or... Yeah,
like a lazy Susan. Table. I get it.
the knights all sat around a round table. We do want to give shouts out real quick, as tradition dictates, to Bombproof Family Dad. They got a new book out. I've talked about him before, but he seems like a great guy. And they've got a book called Whirlwind to Rainbows, The Story of Us. So I like to order this stuff, so I'm going to check it out. Give a shout out to at dad's period spot, at dad spot, at single underscore parents 123, at staying underscore at underscore home dad. I hate underscores, but they're a necessity, I guess.
Gotta have them.
At staying home dad, at sunshine parenting, at sunshine.parenting. Really cool. And three good ones to rally us out. At Dad Up Podcast, we've talked to them quite a bit. He's a thought leader, inspirational guy, has kids, great podcasts. And he's kind of like, he's in the clubhouse. Do you guys do clubhouse?
I'm still trying to figure out.
We'll save it for another episode, but I am on clubhouse actively, and he has a clubhouse dad's chat on a couple days a week, but they're all dad influencers, some professional baseball players. Like, there's all sorts of cool, unique people that talk about being a parent. Not much better than our show, I'm just going to say, but, you know. We can congratulate our 500th follower on the gram.
Wow.
We're up to 504 now, yo.
Just like that.
Legit.
But at Matt Bronk, who has the Better Dads podcast, which I've listened to. It's a really good podcast.
Thank you, Matt.
At Matt Bronk. So thanks, Matt, for being our 500th. There will be absolutely nothing coming your way except a virtual high five. Maybe our 5,000th follower, we can kind of
do something.
A t-shirt or some merch.
Gift card to Fandango or something.
I got so much of my music merch. You can have it all.
There you go. Yeah, we can have Wolf Hunter gift packs. And then finally, I want to congratulate and give a shout out to my friend at bcammy24, at bcammy24, Brett Kamalik. Great guy, really into positive kids programming. He's got kids of his own too, but we've worked on shows together, and he's got a brand new show coming out, and I'm very excited for him. It debuts soon. It's called Operation Awesome. And it's an inspiring new series about two mentors, him being one of them, and five incredible kids trying to make the world a better place. So that's going to be coming out soon. And when it does, we'll give more information to our listeners. But congratulations, BCammy24. That's awesome. So coming up on the other side, we're going to be doing parent tweets of the week. We're going to get a little philosophical, talk a little bit of food as a lean-in to our family dinner chat. Coming up next, parent tweets of the week.
Time now for the tweets of the week.
All right, it's time for our tweets of the week. I kind of based it around food, and then I didn't. So we'll just have to figure it out. And I kind of got lazy down this home stretch, too, and I meant to add more, and then I didn't, and that is what it is. There's just one funny one to kick off, and I think Chris will be related. This is from At Home with Peanut. It says, no rhyme or reason. I just thought it was funny. Have kids so you too can receive thought-provoking questions such as, if Goofy and Pluto are both dogs, then why does Goofy only talk?
Oh, yeah?
It's why?
Like they forever.
Why? You know, I'm asking you why. Why does Snoopy not talk? But yet Goofy can just bounce around town spouting out whatever he wants.
Why ask why with that? It's just, I mean, just Disney said.
That's the Stand By Me.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I think Pluto's the cuter canine.
Cuter.
I mean, yeah. Winnie the Pooh's ultimately the cutest, but that's not in the same species. He's a bear. But
that's right.
What other dog? Scooby-Doo kind of talks?
Yes. Oh, Scooby. Yeah. Totally
he talks pretty. Scooby talks pretty
dogs,
much, right?
Let me think.
Roy Raggy.
Right? Like that?
Yeah,
that's talking.
He's very intelligent. He's kind of a mix of Pluto and Goofy. Would you say?
No.
Is that Pluthy? Yeah.
Pluthy? I don't know. All right. That can go on and on. Why doesn't Donald Duck wear pants? That could be a whole thing, too.
Oh, my. So, I'm going to get in trouble.
And this one comes in. We're going to go, and this just reminds me of our trip recently to Yosemite from Average Dad 1, Average underscore Dad. Dads love temporarily adjusting the rearview mirror so they can look you in the eyes while they scold
you.
Yeah,
they do. Oh, absolutely. That's so funny. I just leave it there. I just leave it on them. Yeah.
I got the cool extra mirror that I can pull down where my sunglasses go.
Not sure that's cool. But yeah.
Oh, man.
Perhaps not.
I know what you mean.
But so do you leave it on? So when we go on family trips, my wife usually drives. I've talked about this. I get to DJ. I get to send snacks back. I love just being shotgun like a little happy guy. And so I don't really have that much. I think I've done it once or twice where I've kind of looked. But do you leave it on them and tell them what you're doing?
Leave it right there.
Oh, like, yeah. Do you match the voice to the mirror trajectory? Like, mm-hmm. You turn it like this, and you're like, if you don't take your hands off her.
You could just turn around, but if you're in the passenger seat, so you don't.
No, I just turn around, flat around. I just give them the stare through sunglasses.
Even with my panoramic view, which Ben seems to poo-poo, there is the occasional need to actually swing the entire mirror down to do just so.
Dude,
They know if I have to adjust my actual rearview mirror, they know that's uh-oh. Like
but nothing strikes fear.
That's almost like pulling over and like you know.
But pullover.
Oh, the pullover.
Anything strike fear into a child more like the dead silence on the pullover. Just like I'm sorry.
Have you ever pulled over?
Oh my gosh, like weekly.
Ben's a pullover.
Wow. I've never pulled over.
Are you serious?
No. That was, that's a.
I mean, yes, I'm not. I'm serious.
Well, we should do this off air, but like I've set them out just outside to cool off, like in the snow. Like stand here for 5 minutes in the snow until you. They're Dutch. It's fine. They're Dutch.
they're used to it. They have the temperament.
Yeah, but yeah, dude, I pull over all the time.
I don't think we've ever. I honestly can't say I've ever pulled over north. Threatened. We've gotten loud.
You need to pull over, man. It'll shut them up.
Oh, I've pulled over.
I've done the reach back.
Oh yeah.
I've definitely done the reach back.
That's more dangerous than the pullover. Yeah.
My dad was the king of the pullover.
Oh like, man.
When you hit those brakes. Oh my.
Go like fear growing up. That was like serious business. And fear so now I think I've only done it like maybe a few times in my life. But yeah, the pullover is.
The pullover. My dad like, did the pullover and leave. That's like don't drop me out on the corner. No, really.
I would never.
Oh yeah, we would be at like a dinner party and I would be messing around. I'd break a glass or something, and then he'd give me the look while we're leaving. And I'd think like, okay, it's all good. But then we'd drive away, and then after about a block or two, he'd do the pullover, and then be like, get out. And then he would take off.
What age?
Wait that's there like, for him to come back.
What
you know?
Age?
Did you have to walk home?
No, I was probably like 6 or 7, like a kid. One time I went back. This is why it never happened again, because I went back to his friend's house. I walked back and rang the doorbell, and he had to come back and get me there. And he was all embarrassed. So.
That's hardcore.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad was hardcore.
He needs a hug.
Your dad's like, wow. Have you ever left your girls out?
No. But I do the mirror. I keep it pretty much on them the whole time. Because I'm pretty much lecturing the whole time. It's probably not safe, right?
I've done mirror and pullover, but I would never leave. That's like, wow. That's
very.
It's beyond.
Old school.
Yeah. I think maybe like I would go and spend the summers with my dad. Maybe he did it once or twice. My mom never, because it was only me. How much trouble could a single kid get in trouble in a car? Like, what are you going to do?
Stop beating your teddy bear.
Are you lighting matches? Don't color. Like, I don't know what I could have done wrong other than pass out from cigarette smoke.
Yeah. You got to be
in the closed windowed vehicle of the 80s.
Cloud. It's pretty much a sibling thing. Like, my dad took us to Reno once. We drove 4 hours and we just passed the Welcome to Reno sign, and my brother and I were fighting. This is the third time that he was doing the turnaround. He turned around and drove home, like after driving to Reno. This guy, I'm telling you,
committed parent.
I'm glad he could unpack this with us.
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I'm turning around, going home. I will do it.
I'll threaten that. But anyway,
I'm going to cancel that hotel right now. Get only half my money back.
We're going to Truckee instead.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't think.
Sorry.
I mean, no, like.
We didn't know.
Everyone's in shock now.
Yeah, man.
No, like, I could. Maybe my memory fit. Like, I could see driving to the zoo and there being blockheads and me saying, okay. And then getting off and turning right back around and coming back and saying, have fun.
But Reno.
Back in the house. But Reno was 3 hours away.
That takes some fortitude.
Good thing he didn't leave me out there.
That's a
you and your brother in Circus play at slots.
I was just trying to win the teddy bear to keep me warm.
It's like, hi, little boy.
Where's your dad? I need the stuffing from the teddy bear. I'm cold.
Jeez.
Oh, wow. My gosh. All good right, times. Well, all right, Rabbit let's hole. Change gears, try to warm up into our food segment, pun intended. This one is from the legendary Jim Gaffigan, at Jim Gaffigan. There's little Reno? That's incredible.
That's Cowboy Vegas for all y'all.
Oh, my
know.
Goodness gracious. He says, at Jim Gaffigan, there's a little difference between how a horse eats hay and the way my children consume spaghetti. Like, you know, yeah. It's interesting. I'm okay with my kids gobbling, but I do like to teach them manners and utensils and things to that effect. But we have friends that will eat the proper European way with their children, and they'll use the fork to cradle the food. Or if there's any, like, remainders on the plate, they'll quietly take the knife and tap it onto the fork, and then they eat it with the upside-down fork. Like, it kind of comes in this way. Can't see that, listeners. I'm sorry, but you know what I'm talking about. And, yeah, I try to teach the right thing, but I'm not hard on the turn the plate up and, you know, just get her done. Like,
you just imagine your daughter going to her boyfriend's house for the first time, and she's leaning over the thing looking like, you know, like a Neanderthal. Like, that's how my daughter eats right now.
And it's like, I know. What's up with that?
Sit up.
Well, yeah, the challenge is that, like, you know, I'm trying to teach my kids proper table manners, and then tonight I had to run my oldest out to, or not my oldest, my middle out, middle-ish, out to swim practice in Alameda. I got home, I had to cook dinner fast to get here, and like I had 2 minutes to eat dinner before I came here, and I was eating like a beast, and my wife was like, she looked at me, she goes, that's just gross. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I'm like, you know, so like table manners go out the window when you're like grab and growl, sure. You know, so, you know.
It was funny because I talked to one of my kids about it, because I'm not going to name their names because they know who they are. And they were eating improperly. And my youngest, like, she just, as long as it gets in her mouth, I'm fine. But it was funny because I chastised it. I'm like, hey, come on. Like, don't use your finger to push the thing onto the fork at the end of the. And then she's like, oh, okay. And I kind of felt bad. And then I found myself, like, 2 seconds later, habitually taking my finger and pushing the remainder of salmon onto my fork. And I'm like, oh, okay.
It's hard. Well, yeah. If you eat with European.
It's hard leading by example, parents.
So my family's half European, of course. And like, they'll give you a fork and knife if you're eating soup. It's like, I don't need it. Like, what are you doing? And we cut with the side of the fork. And they're just like, what are you doing? Why are you cutting with the side of your fork? That is so.
Oh, really?
You know, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, we obviously are not, you know, by the time the English protocols got to California, it was pretty much out the door. There's just one utensil left.
Just bust fork. Out the spork.
Yeah. And then it got Americanized. Yeah. I remember, oddly, my first spork. It was like a KFC value meal when I was a kid.
Oh, the spork.
Spork. Yeah. And I remember, like, getting the coleslaw and the mashed potato. I'm like, this thing. I'm like, genius. Mom, what is this? And they're like, they call that a spork. Isn't it cool? I'm like, no, it's really not cool.
And if it's food that you're eating with a spork, it's not food you should be eating.
No, you can hold it up in the sky, and then there's lightning comes down. Like, I've got my spork.
Was the Toy Story 4, was it?
Forky?
It was a Forky. He wasn't a spork, though.
Yeah,
was
it's a spork. Spork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forky was the spork.
Spork, yeah. With the glasses.
Oh, yeah.
With the googly eyes.
I loved him.
I know,
yeah,
right?
Great.
Who didn't?
Yeah.
I dropped off by 4.
I loved him. Okay, thank you, Mr. Gaffigan, comedian extraordinaire, multimillionaire. Okay, this one's from @3timesdaddy. So I'm taking it. He has 3 children. Sometimes I like to live dangerously by putting ketchup on my kids' dinner plate without asking where they would like it first.
Oh, that struggle is real.
I've gone through a little bit of that. Our kids are okay. Now, I'm just doing the math in my head. They're not that bad. Do you guys, as adults, are you separators or are you clumpers? Meaning, like, do you have specific piles of food on your plate and it can't touch it, the other food?
Nah.
That's where, like, that's where I see in my family. There are separators, and then there are, like, just mashed potatoes. Go with this and go with this and go with this.
The old farmer way, just smash it up.
Smash it all together.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of cooking, and I'm
in. We're not aware. Do you do a lot of cooking? Or on a 1 to 10 scale, how much cooking would you say?
99%. I cook 99% of the
meal. That's out of the 1 to 10 range, Mark.
9 out of 10?
Okay, there you go.
Or should I just go 10 out of 10 because that's the truth? So anyway, the point is that my wife, to help me out, did a bunch of food services, which we won't talk about tonight. And the food services come, and they're, like, bagged, and there's all sorts of, like, foods and things. And many of them have sauces, and the intention is to serve, you know, you got your things and your stuff, and you put the sauce on top and, the you know, some scallions on top, and you're good to go. And my kids are weird. They don't want to have that mixology. And I'm like, and since my earliest, my oldest, it was always called a taste sensation. Like, you're supposed to eat some of the meat with some of the potatoes, some of the vegetable with the sauce, and it's called a taste sensation. The purpose is to have it all together. And so yet, tonight,
let me Google this right now.
Taste sensation. Look it up. Boom.
Ratatouille.
Taste sensation. But,
yeah, exactly. Juicy fruit. In excess.
Live, baby, live.
In excess. Yeah. Anyhow. So the whole game plan is to get them to taste all the flavors together, because separately they're okay. Last night I made this killer, like, chicken with pecans and
what a waste of time. Kids. I'm just saying, you know, like,
maybe. So, I don't want my kids to eat well.
Taste sensation, the clinical definition is the sense of taste is mediated by taste receptor cells, which are bundled in clusters called taste buds.
That's different. So he's talking about in a culinary sense.
Yeah.
Taste, like, you know, like the palate cells. Or whatnot.
Like, if you put some jam on some cheese, all of a sudden it's a new thing. Like,
that is Ratatouille.
I just thought Ratatouille.
It's like a fat checker.
It's all about them flavors.
It's all about them flavors.
Dude, don't put even a hint of scallion or onion family stuff in my daughter's food, though. Like, she'll eat stuff, but if there's, like, a hint of... like an onion in there, she'll, like,
last night there was shallots and there was other, like, things, and it was amazing.
It's good that you're trying, Mark. I'll say that.
No, it's awesome.
My kids
keep
eat,
introducing.
Like,
my
kids eat rad.
We we try a lot, and then we get realistic.
Yeah, and then you get realistic.
Yeah, then you get realistic.
I haven't given up.
All right, this is from at Sweet. Pot stickers are a huge hit in the house.
Huge hit.
And dumplings.
Absolutely.
Not the ones that squirt soup in your
shumai,
mouth.
Shumai.
We're getting there. At Sweet Mamisa. We've had her on before. I act like these are all our guests. We've had her on
she
before.
She was over there.
She says, flex on your kids by calling your new dinner recipe ooh disgusting before they have a chance to. Or before they do. I don't get a lot of that.
Yeah.
This is a failure.
Manja.
We usually have six things to choose from, and we know what they like at this point.
Six?
The heavy rotation.
Yeah, but, I mean, not heavy thought through stuff. Like, my kids love corn, so we're always going to have, you know, probably corn on the table. Or they love salmon. They love, you know, there's always an alternative to if we're making something a little heady. But, they're not too finicky. They pretty much like a lot, which is nice. Kira, my oldest, is more of the developed palate, which I find interesting. But she's definitely more into the sweet end of things. But that's another story.
Guys, ever have hominy? Did that not disappear?
Yeah, of course.
But, big
but
corn.
We have not served hominy to our children, I'll tell you that.
Why? Well, just big corn.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Just, well, you think it's big corn, but it's some, I don't know.
We had hominy in chili, actually, about two weeks ago.
Hominy. I just, it felt like something like one of those foods that disappeared in the 89, you know, like.
Hominy's one of those things that, like, I picture an outfielder yelling to the pitcher to pep him up.
Hominy.
Come on, we need another strike. Come on, Reggie. All right, so thank you, Sweet Mamisa. And then finally, to get us out of the tweets of the week, this is just a fun one from our new BFF, at 6 Foot Candy. Or would it be BPF, Best Podcast Friend? Yeah. It would be Best Friends Forever. I guess we don't know her. So we don't know Six-Foot Candy, so it wouldn't be. Yeah, anyway, I like this one to close. I started using clarifying shampoo, and now everything makes sense.
Oh, that's true.
You would know what that
some
is.
Wisdom to close it out. Speaking the truth.
Truth.
All right, thank you to our amazing parent Twitter writers. I love following all you people. You make me laugh, you make us smile, and we love sharing your stuff. So awesomeness, keep going. Next is smart articles by smart people.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, it's time for smart articles by smart people. Funny, this often happens to me. I start with one article, I get interested in it, and then I'm like, I Google it, and then there's three more articles, and then it comes from different sources. But this started, so I'm going to give credit, with a website called ahaparenting.com. And I really enjoyed it because my wife and I were talking today. We said, you know, isn't it redeeming every once in a while when you read by smart people that you are doing something right? That you have hit the nail on the head, that you are doing the right thing for your family, the good move, the statistically or scientifically proven benefit, and you just happen to be doing it. So the article is Dinner 30 Minutes to a More Connected Family, and it talks all about family meals and how they benefit the family overall. It was funny because after I sent that to y'all, I went right up, and next was from the Harvard Graduate School of Education. So there's a great article there on it. And then I went further, and there's actually an entire movement, the familydinnerproject.org. So we'll put those resources up if anybody's interested in checking them out. But let me just peel off some benefits first, and then we can get into our own scenarios. But some of the specific benefits of family dinners are better academic performance, higher self-esteem, greater sense of resilience. I think they're talking about the kids, not us. lower risk of substance abuse, lower risk of teen pregnancy, lower risk of depression, lower likelihood of developing eating disorders, lower rates of obesity, better overall cardiovascular health in teens, bigger vocabulary in preschoolers, and healthy eating patterns in young adults. And then just for adults, it's less dieting, increased self-esteem, lower risk of depression, better nutrition with more fruits and vegetables. So, yeah. I mean, so I don't know where ours came from other than Jen and I just getting out of the gate and prioritizing eating together. She would typically get home late from work, later than the average, you know, 6:37, and we would have dinner. We've always been kind of late eaters, so about 7:15. But, and then we had our second, and things didn't change, and now we have a third, and things never really changed. And that is the one constant through line in our house anyway, that we always have family dinner. And the team that I work for, the 49ers, it was funny because they had owners prior to the owners that are there now. And I remember hearing a bunch of the office people talking about how they were allowed to go home for family dinners within the organization. I always thought that was unique. And I grew up with my mom, single mom, you know, kind of a household. And we would have dinners together periodically. But I don't think there's this dying need for me to have family dinners. It's just something we fell into, and we have absolutely loved it, good, bad, or ugly sometimes. But it happens, and we have this little, I don't know if you've been in my house, but there's this big booth, and we all pile into the booth, and each person has a chore. And, yeah, so that's me. You want to go around the round top?
Sure, yeah.
Starting at 3 o'clock?
No, I mean, in that same sort of vein of kind of lucking or falling into the habit that we didn't really plan, but it just came about. But, you know, from when I remember, as long as I could remember it, growing up as a kid, we always ate together as a family. So I think it was just normal, sort of normal for me to, like, always feel that that's a, you know, something that we always have to do. I remember, you know, my dad would come home from work and we'd all, like, be waiting for him at the table for him to walk in and wash his hands and put his stuff in, and then we'd eat right away. And so we pretty much, you know, mimic that.
Like clockwork.
Yeah, like clockwork. And, you know, when you're reading the article and it's like, oh, yeah, the benefits of having that routine and building the sort of the family unit and all of that, it was like, oh, yeah, like that. At least I'm doing that thing right. You know what I mean?
That's like, what I was saying earlier, yeah. Right? You know, and two, we do like roses and thorns. Like, what was the best part of your day? What was the worst part of your day?
Right.
But these sites, and I'll put them up. They have a lot of, like, conversation starters or things to
those are great.
To talk with your children beyond, you know, the normal. And look, let's be real. There's always the pass me this, and then they don't pass, and then there's the little squabble, and then you have that. But I absolutely love it, Ben.
I was thinking as you were even talking about the article that I, of course, I'm going to sound cynical as usual, but I can't. I'm just sad that this is even an article in our culture. Can you imagine the Italians like talking about this? Like, what do you mean, man? Like, this is what we do every night, and we sit there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like. And so I have to think, why is this slipping from our culture? It's sad that it's even a point. And I mean, I'm not trying to get political, but it probably is a result of our capitalism and our hurry and our bustle.
For sure.
It is.
No,
like,
no,
right?
For sure, yeah.
We're a culture that, you know, tramples each other. As I've gotten to see most of the world, you know, through travels and music. And I am always the one, I love coming home, but the one thing that gets me down and I get culture shock about is just the pace, man. And like, it's really, truly shocking. I'm not being sensational. And so the fact that we don't have time or make time to sit around the table as a family is it's terrible. Because the one time we are together at the end of the, you know, in the day.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, and this, it's funny because obviously these are sources from the States. And
yeah.
They actually cater to those points as well. Like, they're like, if you're running busy practices and these kids aren't home and this kid isn't, you know, and you're at least try and have a piece of fruit and some tea at the end of the night so you can get that quality time in with your family.
Yeah, what's more important?
But to accentuate your point, like, one thing, the pandemic kind of reset everybody's buttons, and now you can select how active you're going to get going back.
It is a good reset. You're right. And if I pull up memories from home, the first thing that pops to mind is time around the table. You know, the laughing, the like, and we were definitely that family. Like, family dinner is as long as I can remember. But it's challenging when they're young because they just make you miserable. But like, it's when they're little, it's not fun. But, you know, we're trying. And I think nothing could be more important. All I'm saying is just like watching them shows about Italians and the way they treat dinner. It is so inspiring to me.
And lunch. Take the afternoons off. Let's not kid ourselves.
No,
I would
really
trade that for that lifestyle.
I spent a lot of time
of
in Italy and just like sitting down, eating is not eating. It's not consuming. It's so much more, and I really hope we can somehow get back to that.
Well, the article even says that it's not about the food, you know, it's about the time spent together.
Absolutely,
and
the one time
building.
In the day you're together to reconnect, and you know, like, when else is that going to happen unless, you know, you gather, you're home safe, y'all made it back after a day's work, whatever you're doing, you gather, we pray, we say, we give thanks, and we're there together, and that's it. That's that half hour is the only time we're all together every day.
We do, and I find it a great place, too, to lightly distill current events if needed.
Right.
Meanwhile, opening, whether you're religious or not, but opening up with gratitude or a prayer, holding hands, being grateful that you're sitting there together alive as a family. It's very special. Right. I don't know if we have enough time for Mark's answer, so we're going to move on to the next category.
He's been like, pulled out the essay. Come
he has
on.
So much to say.
I'm hearing the rap side from the producer.
I'll be quick.
Please,
thanks.
Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, MK. Appreciate the support here, jerk. So, dinner was the most important meal in my family growing up, and therefore is the most important meal as a father for me. Being at the dinner table with my kids, giving thanks, highs and lows, it's huge. And because I have a 14, almost 15-year-old that has a lot of extracurricular stuff going on, it can be challenging. And so I will hold dinner. I will force the family to eat later just so we can all sit at the table together.
Good for you, man.
He'll get back from swimming. And he'll be like, I need to get in the shower. And last night it happened. I'm like, no, you're going to sit down. We're going to eat. We're going to be together.
Wow.
And
he'll thank you for it.
And the gratitude that his siblings showed that he listened and he sat down and ate with us was amazing. He actually got to a point where he was actually in tears because the love that he felt from his family overwhelmed him, because we all need that connectivity, even if it's short and fleeting for us, a little bit of time every day to be at a table together. And it's not so much about eating. It's about just that little break you get. And yeah, it can be challenging with littler ones, but we're teaching them manners and we're teaching them just a bunch of different things. And so anyhow, I kept it short.
It's good. Well, now, do you find, though, to your point, do you find, and I find this with ours, for me, the assimilation is getting on that darn exercise bike. I kind of push it off. I rue the moment. I pull myself in there. I clip in, and then I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Kick. Yeah.
But the same with dinner, and an example like your son last night, like there's him and Han, but once you sit down, it kind of all washes away, and you feel the family warmth, and then you proceed with dinner.
It's just so important, especially now during a pandemic, to get that connectivity with your family. It's like, you know, you don't have that because my son is still a distance learner. My two youngest ones are back in school, thankfully, in person. But you know, we all need that connectivity. We all need that love. And dinner brings food, love, and all the wonderful things that you want. Conversation, checking in, caring. So, you know.
I know we were even for a time, and it kind of fell wayside because the schedules, the midday school schedules got a little bit in the way. But we were all having lunch together every day. And my wife and I sat out here, and we're like, when is this going to happen again?
Yeah.
Having lunch with your kids on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. And you know, it could be hot dogs and macaroni shells, but it's just the fact that you're all together in the sunshine. Yeah, it's really, if diving into all this and then seeing how cerebral it can get and how much research gets poured into it, sadly, to Ben's point, you wish it was common across the board. But once those hyper schedules kick back in, it becomes grab and go, late night, microwave stuff, move on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
But I'm thinking that people are going to actually click into what they gained during this time. I hope.
Hopefully.
I know I want to. That's like my.
That's the lesson. If
that's
we didn't,
where I'm at.
If we didn't learn anything, that'd be a real shame. That'd be the biggest shame. If
right?
We didn't learn anything.
That's where I'm at. It's like, hey, this is important. This is meaningful.
I do almost think in reverse engineering terms, like coming back out of this, you better have picked some of this stuff up. I hope that people do, because there are things like that, this topic, that can happen more easily because everybody's home for the most part, is very important. And I hope that everybody sees that. I'm not bragging that we do it and we're the best. You know, I'm not.
Inadvertently, you are.
I'm not going.
it's not on purpose.
Well, yeah, good point. But
good job, MK.
Well, did you know?
Every time you say something, I'm like, wow, what am I doing wrong?
You get two thumbs up. No. Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for getting us to think about it. This is an incredible website, by the way, ahaparenting.com. There's an Instagram, of course, but there's a doctor behind this site, and we'll get into that as we move forward, because the articles are tending to get smarter and smarter as we get further down our episode train. But yeah, well, thanks for your insight. Thanks for your candor, and that was a great smart article by a smart website. And there's three different ones that we researched for this particular topic. And I'll put the links up on our – I'll put them up on our – where am I going to put them? We don't have a website.
Oh, we don't.
Facebook, Instagram.
We roll lean like that. But yeah, they'll be up there. All right, coming up next, 3, 2, 1, go. We'll lighten the load a little bit, but we'll just talk about some foods and either-eithers. Coming up next, 3, 2, 1, go.
Time out for 3, 2, 1, go!
All right, guys, the title of this episode was Now I'm Hungry. Because I'm clever like that. Yeah, now I'm hungry. And I got this great little bitty off BuzzFeed, the world's news source. and it's just either ors, and I'll tell you whether America agreed with you or not. Very simple, very easy food, nothing tremendously sophisticated to your dismay, Mark.
That's okay. But I'll survive. No shallots?
No shallots, but here we go. Pancakes or waffles?
Ooh, that's so good.
Pancakes or waffles?
My grandma's pancakes or yeah.
Can we go Swedish pancakes?
Waffles. I can't go anywhere but what's on my screen.
Waffle.
Stroop waffles.
I'm going waffles then.
Don't make fun of the Dutch.
No, I love those.
Well, I don't think there is a right or wrong answer here. There will be in the quiz. But the winner by a lean margin was pancakes all the way.
Wow. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Of course, we can get more sophisticated and think about different dishes, but
I like the crispy. I would have gone sweet pancakes.
This is America only, right? I guess.
Well, waffles, you can have the chicken.
Oh, here we go with
waffles.
The European card again.
I'm just wondering where the data comes from. I just want to know the science, okay?
Taj Mahal in Europe.
The Taj Mahal in Europe. I heard of that. Yeah, right.
Next up, donuts or croissants?
Oh, donuts.
And not a mix of
again,
both.
Again, is this data from just America? Because that's a big difference.
It's BuzzFeed, Ben. BuzzFeed.
What do you think?
Donut holes, then.
Donuts.
Of course.
Yeah, man.
Donuts.
Croissants. Come on, get out of here.
Donuts.
Did you say
donuts
or donut holes?
No, they're all
really?
The same.
Really? You wouldn't do a chocolate croissant?
Ooh. Those are pretty good, too.
Are you asking? Ones.
Yeah. If I had to choose.
All right, 29,000 voted donuts, 23,000 voted croissants. Ooh.
Close.
All right, I am a little jaded here, but I love my pasta too. Pizza or pasta?
Pasta.
Pizza. I'm going pizza. I like a pizza pie.
You know, I've done the pandemic pizza challenge.
Absolutely.
We know.
One of the great. I'm doing. So I gave up cheese for Lent.
Did you?
And the last day of Lent, we're doing another pizza pandemic challenge. And you're more than welcome to caravan.
Are you holding steady? Are you holding steady? Tell us. Have you cheated at all?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not even cream cheese.
Let's roll together. I'm down to jump in on that.
Yeah,
it's pretty
late,
dude.
It's a pretty fun night.
No, for the next one, round two.
Oh, next one.
Pizza or pasta?
Pizza.
I said pasta.
Pasta.
We have three pastas and a pizza.
I'm going to go pizza just because of our pizza pandemic challenge. But yes, pizza took the voting favoritism. 27,700 people voted for pizza over pasta. Burgers or a classic hot dog?
Burgers.
Come on. Burgers crushed it. Yeah, 43,000. Taco or burrito?
Taco.
This is interesting as a Californian.
A folded one or a folded up one?
Oh, my. What? Would you just stop the dam?
I got to go taco. Oh, gosh, that's so hard.
I'm going taco.
Taco.
Got to go taco, yeah. Street tacos.
Mm. Mm. Metro taco, fish burrito.
Ooh.
Tacos took it, 58%.
Taqueria Los Pericos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, down the street.
Right down the street.
Cupcake or regular cake? I got to be careful how I answer here with my resident baker in the house.
I'm going cupcake.
It's more traditional,
I like cupcakes.
Right? The cake
I'm going cupcake.
I like cupcakes, yeah.
All right, the BuzzFeed poll went cake.
Yeah.
But I, now that I have tasted what a good cupcake can be from like Sift and those high end, it's like the one cupcake with just that intense lemon taste or whatever, I go cupcake. But yes, cake won. Mm. Mac and cheese or spaghetti?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. Yeah, I'm going to go mac and cheese.
Depends on the spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Eked it out.
Which spaghetti one? Did?
Mac and cheese eked it out.
Mac and cheese one.
Give me a good bucatini with a pesto.
Lobster mac
bacon
and cheese.
Bacon in there.
Ooh, bacon. Oh.
I don't eat meat, but bacon and jalapeno
mac and cheese. that sounds like
a good situation.
All right, cereal or toast?
Well, that's
cereal. This is interesting. This
toast.
Is an interesting one.
Cereal, of course, man. What
are
you crazy?
I mean, you generic? Are you talking generic cereal?
No, I mean, the world of cereal. That's way better than
the world
toast.
I'm reading it as I see
I'm
it.
I'm going cereal.
Come on, Captain Crunch. All those. Yeah, man. Way better than
I'm
going
to go toast. Okay. I'm a toast man.
What, are you crazy?
Wheat
toast
bread,
is
sourdough.
The worst.
I mean, come on, what
I
are you
do
about?
Dave's super bread or Dave's bread, whatever
what?
It's called.
No,
oh,
really?
And I put some honey on it. And
I don't know.
A little bit of peanut butter.
A little bit.
I love the peanut butter.
I feel like I need some information. Like,
so
what
good.
Cereal, what toast? I mean,
good toast with a good jelly, like a really nice one, like Bon Maman.
Mm. I heard some people don't understand avocado toast. Is this just a California
Ooh,
thing?
Avocado toast.
That is a California thing.
I like
day.
It.
Every dang day.
But I'm still taking a
Captain
Crunch.
But I
want
to know, to our listeners around the world, have they ever even heard? They think we're weird, I think, with the avocado. They say Californians put avocado on everything.
Because we have a lot of avocados.
And we do put it on.
You know, my wife's father used to pick avocados as a teenager in a town called Fallbrook, California.
I know Fallbrook. Yeah. Fun fact.
Yes. Suburb of San Diego.
So who won?
Off the 15.
NorCal. Cereal or
Toast.
What?
I told you.
Really?
51-49.
Never listen to me, man.
Well, I don't get that. That's crazy.
Neither did Seinfeld.
That's a narrow margin.
Yeah.
Neither did Seinfeld.
All right. Ice cream or fro-yo?
Come on.
Yo.
Ice cream. Are you crazy? Cream.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Ice cream. 79-21. Yeah. Blue Froyo out. That was the stomp down. Regular potatoes or sweet potatoes?
Regular.
I'm going regular too, man.
I'm going sweet.
I mean, I like sweet, and they are healthier, and I will side with Mark, but regular won the vote.
Yes.
What's the 35,000 to 10,000.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Wow. Absolutely. Oh. I mean, it's a fun novelty and all, but come on.
And finally... My kids will definitely have a say in this. The quesadilla or the fajita?
Quesadillas. I'm going fajita.
Well, I love fajitas, but
but we're talking about America.
The simplicity of the quesadillas.
How much quesadillas were made in America today compared quesadillas? To fajito?
Yeah.
Quesadillas, 66%.
Whatever, I don't care.
They're kind of similar.
You're right, Mark. It's a better food, the fajita.
But this is a personal thing. We just tried to see if we aligned with the greatest poll ever conducted from the BuzzFeed.
Mm. Thank
all
you,
right, so that was 3-2-1 go. Coming up next, a quiz on foodie facts. Let's see. We may get a little sophisticated here to Mark's pleasure.
Mm.
Coming up next, the parent quiz.
It's quiz time! Parent quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, here we are, 10 questions. We're going to move it along fast because we are under the wire on the DTO to not waste your time out there. Question number one, how would you describe India's favorite dish, masala dosa? Is it a chicken and potato broth, a rice batter crepe stuffed with potato, lentils, and spices?
Yep.
A soft flour tortilla filled with onions and mushrooms, or battered cod?
It's the first one.
First one.
Yep.
First one.
Those are good, by the way.
Mm-hmm. The answer is a rice batter crepe stuffed with potato, lentils, and spices.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, one down.
You're wrong.
Which Englishman invented potato crisps in 1817? By the way, have you watched Ted Lasso?
No.
Please watch Ted Lasso.
Okay.
It is by far one of my favorite shows of the year.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
Where do we find Ted Lasso?
Apple TV.
Okay.
Trust me. Oh, Ben, it takes place in Europe.
Oh.
You'll be very comfortable. Okay. Which Englishman invented potato crisps in 1817? Sir Anthony Cecil Hogmanay Melchett.
Oh, my goodness.
William Kitchener, Dennis Waterman, or Rick the Hick Sticklebrick?
What?
Was Rick Mayor McCheese or something like that.
I'm going to go with the first one because no one would put that name in there unless they had to.
That's good reasoning. Yeah, I like right? that.
I'm going with answer number three.
I'm going number one.
Whatever number one
is. Yeah. All right, it's B, William Kitchener. Sorry, gentlemen.
Kitchener.
All right, everybody's in their car gripping right now, so let me move fast. What traditional Spanish dish traditionally contains seafood and rice? Can you answer
paella.
Without me? Yeah, I figured you guys would get that one. Yes, paella. The others were gazpacho, shepherd's pie, tortilla española.
Mm.
What is Thailand's most famous national papaya-based salsa called? What is Thailand's most famous national papaya-based salsa called?
Multiple choice? Come on.
And let me change the word out. Salad, not salsa.
Papaya salad. Oh yeah, that we have that all the time. I don't know the name of it.
Yeah.
I may not pronounce these right, but som tam?
No.
Cow soy?
No.
Homak tele?
No.
Or pad grapao?
Pad grapao.
Ooh, pad grapao. No. That sounds familiar, no, but I think that's the one with
noodle.
the
pad is noodle. Noodle one. Number one.
Number one is correct.
Yeah. Nice.
Som tam.
Cool.
Very good.
Been there.
Som tam, really?
Yeah.
All right.
This is from the Beano website, so yeah, really.
Right. Yeah, we just get it, Mr. Papaya salad.
For centuries, the French aristocracy would crumble peanuts into their hair for good luck. Is this true or false? For centuries, the French aristocracy would crumble
peanuts. I think they also
did that.
To fight the lice and stuff and the wigs and
peanuts,
all that. I think for sure. Okay, but wouldn't that feed the lice, I think?
I'm going false. That's weird.
I'm saying true.
It's false.
Oh, man.
Why would someone make that up?
You're sick. Why would you come up with that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the
all right, I'm going to go back to a prior topic. This should be a no-brainer, but See how many brains are out there. What is Mexico's favorite national dish? Chicken Kiev? Beef stroganoff? I didn't write this.
Come
beef
on,
stroganoff, sherbet dib dabs, or tacos?
Tacos.
My gosh. It's raining tacos all over the world. Tacos.
Gosh. Who wrote that song? I'm going to...
Open your mouth and close your eyes. It's raining tacos.
I mean, you guys have older kids. Are they still rocking that?
Oh, I love that song.
My 8-year-old won't. Okay, go
What on. Is the German sweet treat marzipan made from? Ben, only a few countries over.
Yeah. One country.
Human hair.
Oh, my God.
Ground almonds and sugar. Yeah. Beef and licorice. Or simply sugar and flour.
Number two.
I think it's almonds.
Is it marzipan?
Almonds. Yeah,
marzipan. Marzipan is almonds and sugar.
Almonds
marzipan is ground almonds and sugar.
Yep.
Yay.
All right, we're coming down the home stretch. You guys are doing very good tonight.
I feel good.
You look good. What is the Middle Eastern food made from chickpeas, garlic, lemon juice, and tahini?
Hummus.
Yeah, hummus. Big hit in my house.
Love the hummus.
Oh, hummus.
So good.
On toast.
Oh.
Just eat it with a
spoon.
A
little olive oil.
Anything.
Tomatoes.
There's a local Greek place called Moussaka.
Challenge me.
You been there?
So here's an interesting question.
It's good food.
When you get to the bottom of your hummus tin and you can't get anything in there, how do you get it out?
Because
it has that weird
just plastic. Don't.
Moat.
Finger.
Just leave it.
Finger.
You do go finger, right?
What?
Yeah.
In Ted Lasso.
Oh, jeez.
He leaves an open can of peanut butter on his counter because he says it's easier to just do drive-bys and just go.
Ted Lasso. I say use a baby carrot if you have to, but not your finger.
I'll just lick that out of there, man.
It's hummus. What? Really?
Oh, yeah,
what
man.
Favorite Italian food is also enjoyed by the cartoon cat Garfield?
Lasagna.
Lasagna.
Yeah, that was pretty easy. I was never a fan of Garfield.
He's a weird cat.
Come on. No.
I was like Odie.
Odie the dog with the big eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dumb dog.
What is the name of the favorite Japanese dish made from monkfish liver? Tough one to round it out.
Monkfish liver. I think I know this.
Japanese?
Tempura?
No.
Ankamo?
Yes.
Miso soup? Or toad in the hole.
It's Ankimo.
Ankimo.
The correct answer is Ankimo.
Yeah.
Ankimo.
You're all right.
Very good. Excellent parent quiz. Yeah, you all scored very good tonight.
I'm hungry now.
Coming up next, show rap and things that make us smile.
That was silly.
All right, gentlemen. Time for things that make us smile. Thank you for a great show. As usual, a lot of fun. Always enjoy having you over, and it makes me smile. I did realize, however, that we didn't insert a dad joke because my little boy and I kicked off the show, and we talked WandaVision.
Oh, nice.
So you're going to have to listen to catch that part, but we didn't do a dad joke. So what did the baby corn say to the mama corn? What did the baby corn say to the mama corn?
Cob. Cob me up.
Are you Cornholio?
Where's popcorn?
Where's popcorn?
Where's popcorn? So your little baby corns can say to their mama corns, where's popcorn? Isn't that cute?
It is. It's lovely.
Things that make me smile. Of course, my family and everything there. But Firefall, I talked about at the top of the show. So my family, through the pandemic, has become an adventure family. Like, we just go for it. We find national parks that are accepting people, and we try to hit them. And we stay distance, and we stay careful. And it's hard sometimes, but it's incredibly awesome. And we were at Yosemite this summer, and we saw a poster of this incredible thing called Firefall at the Ansel Adams Museum. And what it is, there's a large face called El Capitan. It's very famous for mountain climbers, and there's movies on it. There's Free Solo, and there's another one. And so on the backside of El Capitan, there's a waterfall called the Horsetail Fall. And if the right amount of snow is up top and the water's coming over, the way the sun hits the waterfall for 2 weeks a year, it has the illusion of fire coming down the side of the mountain and creates Firefall. So we went to a hotel the night before on the park's perimeter, We had a great meal. We played musical chairs to the dismay of the people below us. We got up early. We went into the park, and it's a pilgrimage. And I have a 60-pound little bag of potatoes that I had to pull in a wagon. But so they only allow a certain amount of people in the park. And then you park 2 miles plus out from the great visual spot. And then as you get in there, people start to hunker in, and you can see the tripods and you can see all the pros. And people make pilgrimages from around the world. We didn't know any of this going in. And it was spectacular. Beyond, I could give you 10 synonyms on that word. People were quiet and just watched it in awe. And as the sun left it, a huge round of applause, and people just started cheering. And it finally, in a weird way, not only did we see one of God's great creations, but we also, it felt like normal again. Mm-hmm. Wow. And you walk back, like leaving a concert, down this road that was closed off with people everywhere talking about Firefall all the way back to the cars.
That's so cool.
And I'm going to post some pictures on our website, but or our non-website, our social media.
But the most incredible thing about that is it's reminiscent of the Firefall they did back before it was illegal, where they would make a huge bonfire above Curry Village and push it off with a bulldozer. And it's just kind of crazy that in the same valley there,
right?
Like, that there's a natural one. But they used to do that. They push a huge. Mm-hmm. My dad said he remembers them bulldozing a huge bonfire off the edge. So, yeah.
Yeah. So well, cool. That's what made me smile. How about you guys?
That's beautiful. Showing my kids 80s rap songs and doing the dances in the kitchen. Awesome. And my girls in just total dismay.
Give me their favorite
Papa,
song.
Stop it. Papa, Light. Stop it. Probably can't touch this to go. I mean,
Rapper's Delight.
Ice Ice Baby. Yeah, I mean.
You weren't well, getting Rapper's into Light, EPMD or anything, right?
No, not that. No.
No,
Big Daddy Kane, no Public Enemy, no. But we kept it like with the Can't Touch This and some Vanilla Ice and such. It was a
PG
funny.
Rapping.
And doing the dances, it came right back. I'll tell you that.
So good.
And they were just so mortified.
I noticed your entrance tonight.
Doon 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 doon.
Yeah,
you know,
love it.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, man, I love, like looking forward to hanging out with you fine folks in the backyard here. Definitely always puts a smile on my face.
Ditto.
But, this week especially was opening day for softball. So seeing my kids getting back on
Heck
the
yeah.
diamond and teams forming, we had our first team meeting and man, I really, last season was cut short and, you know, I was like pretty emotional, you know, it's a big part of our lives. And so kind of like having that resume was kind of like a little victory, you know, like we're kind of turning it around.
Softball team today. I got misty. I was like,
yeah,
hey, thank God.
A little normalcy. And man, it really brought a smile to my face.
That's awesome. Mark.
You know, I mean, my family always makes me happy and makes me smile, but I'll tell you that I've been really focusing a lot on my work and I really feeling blessed to have the people that I have working for me and what we're trying to do as a team and, you know, whatever. So, you know, I love my family and their constant joy of mine. But I really also like my work family because that's – you spend more time with your work family than you do with your real family unless you're actually at home during this pandemic. I go to work every day. So.
Unless your work family is your family.
Same
in my case. I work with my wife. So
That's the best –
makes a big difference.
Yeah, well.
Anyhow, yeah. So that's
now it makes a big difference.
My crew makes me happy. Love those guys. So.
I've worked with production teams that I look forward to working on very specific shows with just to see those people every time for 2 weeks. Kids' Choice Awards, MTV Video Musical. It's like the same old school people coming back, the same directors, the same floor managers, the same producers, like the same writers, most of them. There's a lot of interchangeable parts. But, yeah, it's a thrill when you get to go to work and see people that you enjoy. So bravo.
Yeah.
Does this mean we can't send you any more forklift gifts?
So many. Where do you get all those forklift gifts?
I didn't even, know where you're getting them.
They're getting weirder, that's for sure.
They are getting weirder.
I sit in my recliner, not recliner.
How can I annoy Mark
chair,
today?
And I'm like, what's the best one for this moment?
Two forklifts making out. That was like crazy, you know?
That was good
stuff.
I like
the forklift feeding a child. That was like that was my recent favorite.
All right. Well, finally, we want to thank all of our listeners. Last episode, I don't know if you guys pay attention, but it was our highest listened to episode. So that was exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't done the country look in a minute, so I'd be curious to see if we're in any unique countries. But our listeners are awesome, and our interactions on social media are very authentic, and we appreciate all the reciprocity out there. And we'll continue to hang out and promote and talk about all the good stuff that we find. So thank you to all that, and you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the hot spots, even Clubhouse if you put in Dad Time. We're doing much yet, but we'll talk about that in 2 weeks when we reconvene. So we're on Clubhouse too, but I'm just mainly listening at this point. Everybody have a great week. Thank you for 58 to 61 minutes of your time. We appreciate you. We love y'all. Dad Time Out Show is out.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show. And we're out of here.